So this morning we are continuing our study in the Lord's Prayer. We have come to the phrase, give us this day our daily bread. And we started this as a desire to learn how to pray like Jesus prays. And Jesus taught his disciples, that was one thing his disciples asked Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And when I started this series, I said I've asked God for a lot of things, but one thing I never did ask God for was how to teach me how to pray, like the disciples asked Christ, teach us how to pray. And I think the main reason why they asked that is because they saw something in Christ's prayer life they did not have in theirs. Their prayer life was kind of dry. Their prayer life was just going through the motion. Their prayer life was seeing it at the temple, seeing it on the corner, seeing it in people's lives, but they never saw the transformation or the impact or the power that Christ had in his prayer life. When Christ prayed, dead people came back to life. You know, when Christ prayed, blind people received sight. When Christ prayed, deaf people had hearing. So they saw something in his prayer life that was unbelievable, and they said, Jesus, I want prayer like that. And I hope that's your desire. I want prayer like that. I want my prayers to have power. I want my prayers to be able to have something, and I can tell it's different than just saying a prayer and knowing it's not getting any further than the ceiling, but having prayer that has power, that has meaning, that has something that can change our situation. That's really what prayer is. Prayer is asking God to get involved in your life. It's giving him permission, saying, God, I want your supernatural power in my life. And we talked about the desire of prayer. We talked about how the Lord's Prayer opens up. It says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. It begins with our relationship with God. Why do we have the right to pray? Because we are God's children. That he is our Father. And any good father, we'll talk about fathers next week, always has a love and a desire to hear from his children. And just like God, he's not up there pushing us away. I don't have time for you. I'm too busy. Leave me alone. No, he's the loving heavenly Father that looks down on his children and says, I want to hear from you. I want to be involved in your life. I want to hear your desires. I want to hear your heart pray to me. I'm your Father. So Christ says when we begin our prayers, we begin our Father. We have a relationship with God. And then we say, who art in heaven? We realize God's resources is higher than our resources. Like when we do earthly things, we have earthly power. When we do it our way, we have our own power, our own wisdom. When we ask God, who's in heaven, we are asking him to get his resources involved in our life. That God, I need wisdom, not from this world, but from your perspective. I'm asking you for your wisdom. I'm asking you from your strength. I'm asking you from your courage. Because I want your resources involved in my life. And I realize that your resources are higher and greater than my resources. So God, who's in heaven with all the resources that's needed to solve my situation. You know, it's funny sometimes because when we pray, we think, you know, I don't want to take these little small things to God. Well, please tell me, what is small things and big things to God, right? It's all small to God, right? No matter what we have in our life or what we face in our life, God has the ability and the resources and the power to take care of them. Then we talked about hallowed be thy name. That God is above all and all. His name is above everything. He is hallowed. He is to be revered. He is to be treasured in our lives. That when we do not take prayer trivial, that yes, he is our Father. Yes, we can be comfortable going to God, but always realize that his name is great. It's a great privilege, a great resource, but his name to be hallowed, that his name is to be shared throughout the earth, that his name is to be glorified. His name is above all names. And then that his kingdom may come. Josh preached to us and talked about not our kingdom, but God's kingdom. He's put you here on this earth, not for our kingdom's sake, but for his kingdom's sake. That his will, his way, his desires, that his kingdom is more important than our kingdom and our wants and our desires. Then last week we talked about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That when the will of heaven is done immediately, it is done without wavering, it's done exactly the way God wants it to be, and that's the way his will should be done in our life. That when we pray to God, God, let me do it without hesitation. Let me do it exactly the way you want it done. Let me do it just as it is in heaven, as it is in my life. Like your will be done in my life. And that brings us to this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. This is really the turning point in this great prayer. God's has been the supreme focus of the prayer up to this point. He continues here, but with a little different perspective. It turns from God's point of view, or God's perspective, to man's perspective. It turns from God's glories and desires to our concerns and needs. You see, only when God is put in his proper place, that he is first in our hearts and our desires, that everything else can fall into place. And this is where we get messed up in prayer. Because we get upset, or we get in a pinch, or we get in a jam, and we want to talk about our will, our way, our things, and we rush to God, and we don't have him first, and he's not in the proper place in our life. Then we say, God, I want you to fix this my way. We're asking God to help us do it our own way. You see, it doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not getting your will done in heaven. It's heaven getting his will done on earth. And you see, only when we put God in his proper place can we then fit the other stuff into our life that we need, our wants and our desires. See, we've talked about this before. Something we may never forget or neglect is what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you, right? Mm-hmm. Seek ye first. So, we seek God's will, desires, his heart, and then all these things will be added unto you. We can't get it backwards, right? And that's why many times our prayers are weak, and we don't really get the answers that we need, or we feel like we don't get the answers because we don't have that proper perspective. And we seek all the things, and then we try to add God to those things. Like, we go out and we buy a car, or we buy a house, or we do these things, and then we say, God, bless me now, right? And we didn't get the perspective of God before and say, God, what is your will for my life? Is this where you want me to have? Is this where I need to go? And we don't pray about it and ask if it's even God's will. See, if God's not in the proper place, everything that we have or everything he can give us will not bring us fulfillment or joy, no matter how much stuff he gives us. No matter how much stuff he gives us. He can give us over and over and over and over. And if God's not first in our life, it doesn't matter how much you accumulate or desire, you will always be left empty. Solomon was a great example of this. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth. He had everything a man could desire. Everything. And he had it to an excess of everything they had. And Solomon pursued all that he had and everything that was to offer on this earth. And God was the afterthought. And Solomon got to the end of his life, of this great life he had on earth with all the desires he could ever have. He said, life is vanity. It's vanity of vanities. Complete emptiness. There was nothing to it. Empty, empty, and empty. And so, as we think about this, and this change of prayer here, is not that we can neglect everything else about God and God will be your cosmic bellhop and he will answer every desire and whim that you have. No. It means as we walk through this process of prayer, that God will begin to answer our prayers and our desires as we align our will to his. And you know, you can't go through this process like some people do, and they think that they can get God to this point and hold him hostage and say, okay, I did everything you said, now you've got to answer every one of my prayers. Or you can't get to the point where you say, okay, you buttered up God, and now you've got to answer my prayers. Kids are good at this, right? You know, parents have that special little alarm that goes off when their kids are cleaning their room and making their bed and talking to you and bringing all this stuff, and you're thinking, you look at them, you go, okay, that's so sweet, but what do you want? Because you know they want something, right? You know that if they butter you up enough, that you will be more willing to answer their request than if they have not done that, right? And listen, prayer is not buttering up God and saying, okay, God, now I've given you glory, now I've said all these things, now I want you to come and answer these prayers for me. No, we're concerned in our prayers for God's glory, for his kingdom, and for his will. And then we are concerned for our provision, our pardon, and our protection. The last part of the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, or the model prayers we talked about, deals with provision, pardon, and protection. Think about that. Provision, pardon, and protection. We talked about God's glory, his kingdom, and his will. Second half, provision, pardon, and protection. First, we acknowledge God as he is king, he is master, he is holy, and then we ask him provision, pardon, and protection. And as we turn from God's glory to man's need, we don't leave his glory behind, but we recognize that he is the supplier of everything that we need to ask for. And it's not an effort to manipulate him, but it's an effort to ask him or to ask him to get involved with what we have. And listen, this prayer doesn't become selfish. This prayer is not man-centered. It's still God-centered. Although it talks about our wants and our needs and desires, it's not man-centered. This is still God-centered. In fact, what comes through in these requests is that God comes and he's saying, or man comes and says, comes to him and says, give us bread, forgive us of our sins, and lead us not into temptation. Now, would you say that was pretty lavish, or that is some kind of outrageous desire to have in your life? Think about that. I mean, if you're asking God to give provision, to forgive your sins, and to lead us not into temptation, I wouldn't say that's over the top, would you? I mean, I wouldn't say that's some kind of luxurious questions or desires and what we need. And what we really say is, God, I need you to supply my physical life. I need you to supply forgiveness for my sins. And I need you to supply a spiritual life in me. And listen, we can't live if God does not provide for food. We can't live if God does not provide spiritually in forgiving our sins. And we can't live if God doesn't protect us, right? Think about that. I mean, it's pretty basic. God's provision, God's forgiveness or pardon, and God's protection. There's another way to look at it. These petitions here is almost like a confession. In our prayers, it's saying in a sense, listen, God, if you don't provide for us, no one will. God, if you don't forgive me, no one can. God, if you don't protect me, I will not survive. You see, it's still not man-centered. It's still God-centered. It's a confession and an admission. Another way you can put this is, Lord, I affirm you are the source of my life. Lord, you are the source of my forgiveness. Lord, you are the source of my protection. That's what we're saying. And listen, we've seen God as a source. We've seen God as the hallowed name. We've seen him as sovereign. We've seen him as kingdom come and as superior. Now we see him as supplier and provider and partner and protector of us. So let's see where we're on the first request. Think about, give us this day. Think about that. Christ comes. He says, pray like this. Give us this day. Man, just think about the freshness of that prayer. Give us this day. Now, for most of us, our walk with God should be fresh. I mean, we should walk with God daily. Like, it shouldn't be something that's not fresh. It shouldn't be something that's stale or stagnant, right? And when Jesus comes, he's saying, give us this day. He's saying, ask God, not once a week when you come to church, then it's time to pray. Or not once a month when you get in a jam or you need help. No, no, no. It's a daily walk. It's God, give us this day. And listen, it's a relationship with God. That's why it's so important to know that your religion is not what saves you, or is not what gives you access to God. It doesn't come through religion, it comes through a relationship. That it's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with him that's real. A relationship with him that's fresh. A relationship with him that is something that says, give us this day, learning to walk daily with God. That's where the rubber meets the road. The rubber meets the road, not just saying you believe in God, but every day you walk that out. That every day you're having conversation with God and communicating with him. Because if not, you're missing out. I mean, you're missing out. Think about what a relationship is without communication. Listen, if you don't communicate with someone, how can you have a relationship with them? If you have a relationship with someone that you might see once a month, you know you're not going to be that close to that person, right? If you have a relationship with someone you might see once a year, if you have a relationship with someone that you might see once a week, you might get to know them or have a few knowledge about their life or what's going on in their life. But let me tell you, if you're communicating with someone every single day, let me tell you, you're going to get pretty close to that person. You're going to get to a point where your relationship is close, it's fresh. And let me tell you, that's what we're talking about here. Christ is saying, give us this day, that it's a daily walk. It's a real relationship and communication with God daily. He wants to hear from you every single day. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's like the old man and the old lady went to marriage counselor after 50 years. And the wife said, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. We've been married for 50 years. And one time he told me that he loved me. And the counselor looked at the old man and said, well, what are you saying? He says, well, I told her the day that I married her, I loved her, and if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know, right? Now listen, think about it. That's the way many times people treat God. You come to God, say you need Christ and you confess Him as Lord, then you never talk to Him again. Never talk to Him again. It's like you check the card or the box and it's over. No, it's not over. Every single day, God wants to hear from you. It's a relationship. God hears from us every single day. It's a day-by-day walk. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. You remember that song? Let me tell you, that's it. That's the key to the whole Christian life. It's an everyday. Give us this day. Give us this day fresh, anew, every single day. It's something that's there every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, obviously, we know when we talk about daily bread, it just means more than bread, right? I mean, God gives us more than just a piece of bread. It's a representation of something that you need to sustain life every day. Give us this day our daily bread. So I thought about this week. If you could break down what he's talking about here. Number one, think about your physical health. When you ask God to give us your daily bread, you're saying, God, give me life for today. You know, when was the last time you thanked God just for your life? Think about that. I mean, every day we get up and God gives us breath and we live. And sometimes we just start to expect it. Sometimes we take it for granted. And sometimes we don't even stop and say, God, thank you for letting me be alive today. Thank you for life today. Physical life. And you know, you really appreciate, your health is something you really never appreciate. You never really understand the full effect of or how important it is until it's gone. You notice that? Listen, this couple weeks ago, about 2 o'clock, Tucker, me, and Aaron all got sick at the same time, right? Let me tell you, I have not been sick like that for a long time as far as getting the stomach up, you know? And let me tell you, I've never once in the last several years even thanked God for never making me have an upset stomach. You know what I mean? Like, I eat whatever I want to eat, and I do whatever I want to do, and I don't even think about throwing up everything I eat, right? I don't even think about having an upset stomach where my stomach actually just throws everything up until you're in the moment. You say, God, if you just allow me to stop throwing up and let none of that hurt my stomach. And then for like days afterwards, you go to eat something, you say, God, thank you for letting me eat this and not let me throw it up, you know? God, thank you for this and thank you for that. You know, it's so much is affecting our lives that we take for granted that we don't even realize for physical life. You know, not even just being sick, but think about being able to see your eyesight. To be able to say, God, thank you for allowing me to see my children's face. Thank you for allowing me to see the great green and the greenery of the land and all the things that we can see with our eyes and our ears and our health every single day. When we say, God, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, God, thank you for allowing me to have physical health. God, give me the strength. Give me the help today. And we think about our physical health. Also, when we ask God for our daily bread, we're talking about material provision. Think about this. Listen, we have a lot of material needs, right? It takes material provision to provide, right? To survive. You need food. You need water. You need shelter. You need all the things that we have. And yet, when we see at the source, guess who gives you all those things? It is God. God says that every perfect and good gift comes from His hand. That means if you have something in your life that's good, you have something in your life that's great, you have something that provides you some type of material provision, guess where it comes from? It comes from God. Listen, God allows you to have a job, to earn money, to have material possessions. It is God who provides all those things for His kids. And listen, we must recognize Him as the source of all these things. Many times we see God as the resource, not the source. Think about it. We go to our job and we're thankful for our job because it gives us money and we think that the job is actually the source of our income. Let me tell you, your job will come and go, but guess who's behind your job? It is God. God was the source. The job is the resource. Listen, He gives you a job. He gives you the ability to work. He gives you the opportunity to work. And it is God who provides all these things and we must recognize Him as the source of all things. God, thank you for every material blessing in my life. Think about that. Your car that you drove in today. You know, think about how many people don't have transportation. You know, this week we were going over the bridge in Chilton Creek, and I looked over and I see this guy riding a bike. And I'm like, that guy looks so familiar. I finally figured out who it was. It was someone who works at Tucker and Tanner's school. And yet he lost his car, and yet he's riding a bike 12 miles home and 12 miles back every day. And my truck felt a little nicer when I heard that story. Like, God, thank you for providing me a car that I can drive in, right? Think about your material possession with your home, that you can go home and you can have provision for your home. He's giving you a home. He's giving you a roof. He's giving you air conditioning. How about that? Can you believe that? And think about, he's giving you all these material things that we take for granted so many times. Whose hand does that come from? It comes from God. And listen, sometimes we're so materially blessed that we forget what it's like not to have those things. But you know what? Many times, or sometimes, when God puts us in a position where we remember all those things. Listen, there was a time in your life when you couldn't afford a car. You remember that? There was a time in your life when you couldn't afford a home, when you couldn't afford those type of things, and you were praying to God to give and help to provide, and guess who came through for you? Guess who's blessed you with all those things? Guess who gives you all those material blessings? It is God. And that's why we must say, God, give me our daily bread. Give me my material possessions. God, thank you for providing all my needs. Listen, I love one prayer in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 verse 7 and 8 says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. You see that? That's exactly where we should live. God, not so much that I would not, by that I forget who's given it to me, that I shall deny you, but God, don't let me be so poor that I got to steal to actually provide for my own life, right? He's saying, God, put me in the middle. That's the prayer that we need. God, thank you for providing for me that I don't forget and deny the source that you are the God who gives it to me. And God, don't let me get so away from you that you give me so little that I have to steal and profane your name. Listen, God is good. God is faithful to answer the prayers of his people. He gives us material possession that he blesses you and he blesses me. Psalm 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. You know what he's saying? When you're in right relationship with God, he will provide everything you need physically, everything you need materially. Thirdly, our daily bread, give us everything we need spiritually. Think about it. He provides physically, he provides materially, and he provides spiritually. Listen, God must give us what we need for our spiritual life every day. Every day. Not just physically and not just materially, but spiritually. Listen, there are days when it comes and you know what you have to face and what you go through and the battles that you fight that you need God to give you spiritual life for that day. He got to give you that strength every single day. And listen, we must sustain life and we must stay in a right relationship with him spiritually every single day. God, give me the strength. Give me the power. Give me what I need spiritually to stay on track with you. God, give me a word from you today. God, let me hear from your word today because I need to hear from you. God, I need to see your strength. I need to hear you speak. I need you to show me direction or wisdom or will. God, I need you to answer a specific prayer request of mine. God, spiritually, we got to have that strength because without God, spiritually, we are dead. We're dead. And listen, when we come to God and we say, God, give us this day our daily bread, we're talking about physical needs. We're talking about material needs, and we're talking about spiritual needs. God, help me keep on track with you. Because let me tell you, without God, we don't have a chance. That's what Jesus is saying here. Listen, God, you are everything to me. And I'm coming to you because you're my source. You're my source for every single day. Every physical need, every material need, every spiritual need that I have comes from your hand, and I'm asking you to provide those things for me. Man, what a great testimony. I mean, what a great God that he don't leave us and he don't push us away and he don't tell us, fend for yourself and find it on your own. No, he's involved in our lives and he cares for us. He wants to hear from us every single day and he wants to provide for us every single day of our life. Listen, every situation, every problem, every issue, everything we have in our lives, he wants to be there to be provider, and we should confess that as he is Lord, and he is the provider of our life. So think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you living that out? Are you living that out? Every day, are you looking to him for strength and courage and needs for his physical life, for your material life and for your spiritual life, because that's what Christ is teaching us to pray. Let's pray together.